that lonesome weevil, he sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is winding low. I'm so lonesome I could cry.
It's been over 40 years, but Les Blank's legendary, much-anticipated documentary, A Poem is a Naked Person, will finally be opening for a theatrical run exclusively at Film Forum starting today. It's a stirring profile of singer-songwriter and rock and roll Hall of Famer Leon Russell, and the story behind the film and how it got made is pretty extraordinary. Although Les Blank is unfortunately no longer with us, his son Harrod, who served as the film's executive producer, is, and he joins us now along with Les's editor and sound recorder and close collaborator Maureen Gosling. Welcome to our show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Has this film been finished all these decades and never seen, or did you have to work on it more recently to get it into shape?
It was finished in a certain version, and then over the course of Les's life, he cut back onto it and took about 10 more minutes out, and then we had to tweak it and finish it off.
Well, the obvious question, Maureen, is why hasn't it been available until now?
Well, there were different problems, I guess, right when the film came out, but it was accepted at the Cannes Film Festival, and the print didn't get there, and so they were unable to show the film. And after that, I think different things happened that we don't really know too much about, that had to do with either Leon's relationship with his producer, Denny Cordell. Maybe some things that Leon would have liked to change in the film but didn't get to. And if you ask him today, he says, you know what? I don't really remember.
Well, how did this project first get started? Who reached out to who first, Harrod? Your dad or Leon Russell?
Well, Les reached out to Leon over the years and did not get any response.
He wanted to make a film about Leon Russell rather than any number of other interesting people out there?
Oh, no. You're going way back to the very beginning.
Yeah.
That would have been, it was an idea of Leon's and Denny Cordell's to do this movie. And they were not positive of how it came about. But one story is that they had seen The Blues According to Lightnin' Hopkins and were very impressed by that. And so they sought out Les. Another version of the story is they went to the AFI in L.A. and asked them who would be a suitable director for a film on Leon, and Les Blank's name came up. But going forward, Les had tried to reach out to Leon after the film was done to try to get it released, appeal for its release, and he never heard back.
Maureen, what kind of film did Leon imagine he was going to get?
Well, I know it's not quite what turned out. I think he was imagining it more like a traditional type documentary, even though he did know that Les was sort of a unusual and independent filmmaking kind of a person.
He'd seen his other films.
Yeah, yeah. So, and even Les, I'm sure, didn't know what it was going to turn out to be either. And it really evolved, I think, from while we were there. We were staying at this lake place that Leon had, this recording studio compound 80 miles northeast of Tulsa at Grand Lake of the Cherokees. And there were months that would go by when Leon wasn't there. And sometimes we would, you know, film concerts of his and so forth. But Les was also really interested in what was going on around him, around the scene, around the place, around Oklahoma. And all of those images got incorporated into the film in a kind of poetic way.
And other people appeared in the film, people who weren't necessarily connected to Leon Russell.
Right, specifically.
How does the film get that odd title, A Poem is a Naked Person?
Leon came to us one day and said, I think this would be a great title. Even though he didn't know what the film was going to be, he really loved this line that Bob Dylan wrote in, do you know?
I think it was in the liner notes of an album or something, or a poem.
right.
that Leon discovered.
Yeah, and he just thought it was a very provocative title, and we agreed.
For those who aren't familiar with Leon Russell, he was a big star at one point. You'd hear less about him today. Could you give us a little background?
Well, I think Leon's very visionary, and I'm learning more and more as I get to know him what he's about, and that he has a lot of different ideas of what he wants to do, and way beyond the music. But he's he was a session musician early on in his career, and
with a group called the Wrecking Crew, legendary.
Right, right. And he surrounded himself by legendary musicians, so that's why I think that scene at Bradley's Barn, where they recorded most of Hank Wilson's Back, is so amazing, because all those musicians were just top notch.
But he already had written and recorded a number of big hits by the time this film started.
Well, it was actually pretty early on in his transcendence to becoming a rock star. He had really made his mark for people to really notice him during the Joe Cocker Mad Dogs and Englishmen tour. People saw this guy, and he was really striking to look at. His music was great, and his songs, and people really started to take notice of him there, and it just kind of grew. I mean, I think it was pretty organic. You know, he wasn't necessarily looking for it, and it happened, and he, you know, grabbed the moment, and certainly his songs really put him on the map.
So he became established initially as a songwriter and as a pianist of real distinction. He could make a record session sound more exciting than it might have been otherwise.
Totally, yep.
Did Les have a vision of how he wanted to make this film from the start?
I don't think from the start. Really think it evolved. He collected images, which he liked to do in his other films, and he always knew that he needed some images to go with music to complement music, and he just was collecting stories and images and people, and he didn't really know how it was going to fit together, but he was moved by certain situations, people, imagery. And then in the editing room, he just totally put them together in this very sort of stream of consciousness way.
Was it just you and Les doing all the shooting and the editing?
Yeah, well, he was the cinematographer, he was the editor, he was the director with Leon and Denny. I was the sound recordist and assistant editor. It's the second film I worked on with him. I ended up working with him after that for another 20 years, so it was early in my development, but it was very significant.
And, Howard, you mentioned the filming of the recording session of his album Hank Wilson's Back. That was a hit album for him?
I'm not sure about that. Was it?
I think so. I mean, I think his albums were doing really well during that time period.
You show Willie Nelson and George Jones, as I've never seen them before, up close, quite intimate. Mm-hmm. And Jones almost tosses off Take Me.
Yes. Yeah, but beautifully. Very simple with just his guitar.
Uh-huh. So what were they doing there? Were they part of the session?
I think they were visiting the session. Leon did another session later, which was filmed by his 4-camera video van that he bought later, and Willie Nelson was part of that one, and that was separate from the film. But George and Willie Willie didn't stop by that session. We filmed him in at this place called Flores Country Store in north of San Antonio.
My guests are Maureen Gosling, Les Blank's editor and sound recorder and close collaborator, and Howard Blank, who's the executive producer of A Poem is a Naked Person, which opens finally today after 40 years at Film Forum. And I understand Jonathan Demme will be hosting a Q&A with you, Howard, Maureen, and Leon Russell tonight.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, that's exciting. The 7:15 screening.
Yes.
Howard, did you visit your father during the shoot?
I did. I was 10 years old, 9 or 10 years old, and spent the summer there at the lake and was fascinated by the lake and the catfish and the blank swimming pool with the scorpions and the nature. And it was very, very luscious nature there. I did these portraits of Leon. Leon was very influential for me, and I did these portraits of Leon, and I drew them? Oh, yeah, I drew them. And, in fact, one of the ways that I touched Leon in this negotiating process was that I sent him a drawing I did when I was 10 years old, and I said, Leon, I want you to know that you're part of this film, and thus you're part of the Les Blank family and my family, and I just really want to see what we can do to make this film come to fruition.
The setting seems really odd. It felt like a floating motel.
Well, Leon bought this place that used to be a fishing camp, I guess you'd say. And the first place that Les and I stayed when we were there was on Leon's floating motel that was left over from Pappy Reeves' fishing dock. And Les's first editing room was, he'd got his upright moviola, flew it in from Hollywood, sat there and edited a film there that we had just shot in Louisiana. Then when it got too cold, we moved into one of the other houses that Leon had. And Leon got this wonderful big sort of Rolls-Royce version of a editing machine for us to edit the film on about him.
And did he come by to see what you've done?
We did these work in progress and sort of dailies showings up in his studio. I set up a double system projector, and we would sit there, you know, like for hours and hours watching dailies. And when Leon and Denny were, and some of the band members were around, and I think we must have shown them rough cuts and stuff.
I mentioned earlier that it was supposed to have been shown at Cannes, and then it wasn't. What happened?
The print didn't get there. And
what do you mean the print didn't get there?
It was late.
Was the post office negligent?
Probably they didn't deliver it. They didn't get it done quite in time, and then Cannes just said, no, we're not going to deal with this.
What was the hardest thing for this film to get done?
The hardest thing was coming to terms with Leon and having him feel good about it and getting to this place. It took 2 years, and the remastering process was quite difficult as well because there wasn't everything there. You know, we still never did find the actual mixed tracks, which would have been nice to have for the audio. Mm-hmm. So we worked with what we had and pieced it together.
Well, he's obviously happy enough with it now to be participating in the promotion of it. Have you asked him why it took so long for him to allow it to be released?
Well, he really hasn't gotten into that too much, but I think gradually he's warming up to it. Whatever the reasons were, he's sort of letting go of those now.
What did your father do after this? Was this a project that he just kept on returning to?
Well, this was his big first feature film, and it was a big deal for him. And then when it didn't get released, it really hurt. And I wonder what would have happened if the film had come out in 1974, what type of trajectory his career would have had. It could be that this was a blessing, that it kept Les as a very independent filmmaker, and he continued to do these types of movies. But I actually think also that it could have really launched Leon's career further as well.
Yeah. And what about you, Maureen? Did you just keep on making films with Les?
Well, I worked with him for 20 years altogether, and we made some wonderful films together. The biggest one that did get attention was called Burden of Dreams, the film about the German director Werner Herzog making his film Fitzcarraldo in the Peruvian Amazon. Mm-hmm.
And moving
that
a boat across
yes,
land.
And that one was very successful, and I think that helped a lot to sort of assuage Les's disappointment in not getting this film out.
This film has already been shown in South by Southwest?
Yes, that's where it had its world premiere.
And what kind of response did it get?
It was great. People loved it, and I think that's actually where Leon he was very reticent and nervous about it, and I think that just showed him that, hey, wait a minute, this isn't that bad. In fact, actually, it's kind of nice. I'm young and handsome, and people like the movie.
people were crazy about him. I mean, standing ovation. First night, I think he was checking the scene out, you know, sitting in the audience and seeing how people responded. And he didn't want to do a Q&A the first night, but the second night he agreed to do the Q&A, and people loved him too. I mean, he doesn't just answer questions straight. He tells a good story and has a lot of humor.
Do you have favorite moments in this film?
Lots. I wouldn't know where to start.
Well, when you're editing a film, you just fall in love with the scene?
Oh, yeah, and you fall in love with the people. And even though I didn't do editing specifically on this film, I became a full-fledged editor later, and it's really easy to fall in love.
We have very little time, but you were going to tell us a favorite moment you had, Howard?
I was just going to say I like the scene where in New Orleans when Leon's performing and he's eating his gumbo or jambalaya prior to performing, and that was his priority. And I just really liked the fact that he was going to eat that last bite before he started doing the song. I love that.
Well, we're going to go out with a little bit of Leon Russell and a reminder that Howard Blank, Maureen Gosling, and Leon Russell will be talking with Jonathan Demme, not a bad director in his own right, tonight at Film Forum at the 7:15 screening of A Poem is a Naked Person, finally being shown after 40 years of sitting in the can. And it's been a great pleasure talking with you on our show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Good night.